Luke 12 and verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. A second reading, please, in chapter 17. Verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Now, there is one other reading, please, in the book of Exodus in your Bible, the second book in your Bible, chapter 12. Verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, then let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now look at verse 29. And it came to pass. God's word always comes to pass. And it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead.
very solemn reading. Now, from these three readings of the Scriptures, I wish to notice one little expression that is found in each of them, and that is the possibilities for this night. Tonight. This night. In each of these readings, we find that there were other nights, and there were nights that followed, but there was never in their experience an experience like this night, the night that is singled out by God. This night, not tomorrow night, and not last night, this night. Now in Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus brings a very interesting, but a very stirring picture before us. It is a picture of a man who has been very astute in his business. He has been very diligent. He has been very fortunate. But he died. And the Lord Jesus points out two very important things that this dear man forgot to look at before he died. It is an amazing thing, isn't it, that the Lord Jesus tells us in that parable that God is interested in the death of man. I find that very touching. God is watching that man. And he watched him, and he was interested in him right up to the night he died. I find that very touching. And as I look into your face tonight, my dear friend, I want to tell you with absolute confidence that God of heaven is interested in you right now. And he will be interested in you right up to the moment of your death. What was God's interest in this man? One thing for sure, he wasn't interested in his barns. He wasn't interested in his bags of money. The man was, but God wasn't looking at that. Oh, he saw it. Certainly he did. But that was not his point of interest. The Lord Jesus tells us what his point of interest was. He says, thy soul. Thy soul. You're not ready to die tonight. And you've got nothing to meet me with. And the Lord Jesus turned to the audience of that day and he says, that's the way it is with men who have not made provision to meet God. This night, this little audience is divided tonight. There are men and women and young people in this audience. And if this night was the night that we must bid them farewell for the last time, thank God they're ready to go. There are others in this audience. And as I look at you, I say very kindly to you, friend, one of the great fears of the gospel preacher is when his audience passes by the door. They're not looking for compliments. We're not looking for compliments, friend. That's not the point of standing at that door. We stand at the door to bid you good night. We're looking to see if there's anyone that would like to be saved. That's our interest. And that was the interest of the Lord Jesus. And as I bid you farewell tonight, one of the great fears of our heart is, am I shaking that man's hand for the last time? Am I looking into the face of that dear lady for the last time? This night. Now let me notice with you very simply that the Lord Jesus points out his provisions and his prospects. Those are the two things that heaven is interested in this night. The provision for his soul and the prospect of his soul. Now the fact that the Lord Jesus points out that he had nothing to meet God with reminds us very emphatically of this friend. Man, by nature, is not ready to meet God. You and I were not born on the way to glory. You and I, my friend, are not right with God by nature or by our efforts. That's what the Lord Jesus showed. You see, this rich man, as far as a Jew was concerned, the fact that he had been prosperous was an evidence of divine blessing in his life. That was the covenant God made with Jacob. And when the Jew looked at a rich Jew, One of his brothers that was rich, he thought, there's a man that's right with God. God's blessing him. But what the Lord Jesus is going to show, the outward evidence of prosperity or acceptableness with God does not affect the provision of the soul. Now, I hope you take that home to you tonight, young friend and older one in this meeting. I fear to the depth of my being tonight that these meetings will close with young people and older people, and their first priority is provision for time, not eternity. Now, let me say to you kindly, except you put in first priority at perhaps even the possibility of the loss of other things, the salvation of your soul, you will be in hell. The first reason for that is, friend, the devil will see to it. The devil's out to see you in hell, dear man, dear lady. He's out to see you in hell. Well do I remember the Sunday night when I sat in the back seat of that old car the Sunday night that I got God's salvation. It was made emphatically clear to me, if you do not get saved tonight, Jim Smith, you're not going to get it. You know, I want to say to you tonight, friend, from the depth of my heart, I'm thankful I believed God that night. Within 6 months, I lay in a hospital bed with a doctor beside me that told me I was a fortunate boy to be alive. I'm absolutely convinced that God gave me that my last chance. That was it. If I had turned away for whatever reason, or put anything else ahead of the opportunity that God gave me for salvation, I'd be in hell right now. And it makes me tremble when I think of it. Oh, the mercy of God and His love to warn me. This night. Someone has said this man made 3 mistakes. He mistook himself for God. He mistook his body for his soul. And he mistook time for eternity. He thought himself capable of directing and managing so that in the end he would have ease and be happy forever. And the story would end. They lived happily ever after. That's the way he thought. But God had to show him, you have not control over your life. This night. What night? The night when he had all the money on the table? The night he had all the books out? The night he sat in his study and calculated the size of his barns? Calculated the prosperity of his fields? He was looking ahead. People would say, what a wise man. But, friend, he didn't look far enough ahead. Now, I want to ask you kindly here in this meeting tonight, if this night were your last good night, your last farewell, what do you have to keep you out of hell and take you to heaven? Now, that's the only thing that matters. I care not, my friend, what you have, where you work. It isn't a question of what kind of a house you live in, and it isn't a question of what kind of a retirement account you have, or what kind of a note at school that you get. The most important thing tonight is, my soul, what do I have to keep me out of hell? This night, not tomorrow night, this night. Tomorrow night, the hymn writer has said, your eyes may never see. This is the time. Oh, then be wise. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? This night, with all its potential for your death. His prospects were joy, rest, ease. I want to tell you, my friend, that man never tasted 5 minutes of joy. He never tasted 5 minutes of rest. Do you know that the Bible reveals that the moment that a sinner dies as he was born and as he has lived, without Christ as his Savior, he never rests again. Tossed on the waves like a little cork, from one billow to another, your soul, young man, your soul will be like a little cork on a vast ocean, tossed on the endless, relentless waves of God's wrath. You'll never rest again. You had a good rest last night. May I speak very tenderly when I say this? It might have been your last. It will be for many individuals in the city of Vancouver tonight. This night. This night. You had a good time with your family. And we hope you did. You laughed. But I want to tell you, my friend, if this night you die, you'll never laugh again. There's no joy in hell. He said, eat, drink, and be merry. And let me say to you very, very solemnly, my friend, there's no merriment in hell. It would only take but a glass of water to make a soul in hell oh so happy, but not one glass. And the poor beggar, as he would put his finger in water, God said, not one drop. This night could be your first night in hell. He missed it. He missed it. This night. Now don't you forget, my friend, God's not looking at last night, and God was not looking at tomorrow night. It's the possibilities of tonight that you've got to face. Tonight. This night. You're here. Thank God. This night. You're listening to a message. I trust you will believe and get down to business with God about. Tomorrow, you may never hear it again. As I look back in Exodus chapter 12, I want you to ponder the possibilities of this night. God said to the people, when I pass through the land of Egypt this night, he said, I'm going to look for one thing, this one thing. God was not looking at the architecture of the building. He was not interested who lived in what house. That was not what God's eye was looking for. He said, when I see the blood, this night, my dear friend, may I say to you, this night in Egypt was their last chance to escape. That was it. It was their last chance. God gave them a remedy, and it was their last chance to get it. God had spoken, and it was their last chance to believe him. Their last chance. This night. This night. May I say to you kindly, friend, tonight, this night, you could be safe under the blood. Oh, what a precious possibility. That's why I'm here. It's the only reason I'm here. I'd love to see people come under the shelter of the precious blood of Christ and know, thank God, tonight I'm ready. Tonight. This night, tonight, right now while you're young upon that chair, young man, young woman, right while you're on that chair tonight, the precious blood of the only Savior for sinners is available. Thank God it is. You could be safe under the blood tonight. What does that mean, you say? It simply means, my friend, that there's only one thing that God will recognize whereby a guilty sinner may be forgiven and sheltered from condemnation against his sin. And that's the price that the Lord Jesus paid at Calvary. God will not look, He's not looking at how you've lived now. No, that's not the point. When it comes to the day of wrath, it's not your works that God's going to put His eye on. He wants to know, what did you do with the blood of Christ? That's the whole point, friend. And as you sit in this chair tonight, if you are not sheltered by that blood, you are outside the door with nothing to stop the storm from breaking upon your defenseless head. Tonight was their last chance to get the blood. Oh, think of the possibilities. Is there a boy, is there a girl, a father or a mother sitting on a chair in this little audience tonight, and this night? And this night is your last chance to get the blood of Christ as your shelter. Thank God it was available. So simple, wasn't it? The blood of the Lamb was shed. And the blood of Christ has already been shed. You don't have to do a thing about that. That work has been already done. Calvary's cross gives us the evidence. The blood has been shed. The price that heaven required for your sins and for mine has been given. The Lord Jesus gave it. What heaven required that you and I might be delivered, sheltered from God's righteous wrath against our uncleanness and our sin, that shelter has been provided. The price has been given already for you. Don't have to put your hand to it. You can't lift a finger to it. God doesn't require it. The precious blood is shed, and it's available. Up until this moment, you have never received it. Now, I know not what you're trusting in, and I know not your reason, but I want to say to you, friend, whatever your excuse might be, you don't have a reason in the world not to be saved. You, tonight, are absolutely foolish to stay outside the shelter of the blood. For this night could be your last opportunity. Now, I must close, and I notice with you in Luke chapter 17, the Lord Jesus said in this night, that night, the possibilities that that night could be tonight. My, I love to think of the Lord's coming. I delight to think of the many, many voices that are going to join in that chorus. My dear friend, I'd love to see your face there. How precious that would be. How precious to think that there are some, when we came here to Vancouver less than 1 month ago, there are some in this audience tonight. And their voice will be heard in the chorus of heaven. And when we came, they were still on the way to hell. What happened? They believed God about the blood and came to know the precious value of the work of Christ for their salvation. They're sheltered tonight. And you're not. Now I close, and I want to ask you, friend, with the possibilities of this night. This night thy soul will be required of thee. I want to ask you, how will you go out into that night, get behind the wheel of that automobile, and head down the roads with the consciousness, this night, I've got nothing to meet God with. This night, my soul may leave my body and go into hell forever. God, help me to say that tenderly. For I've often looked into the faces of people, and that's what's happened to them. This night, the precious blood of Christ that delivers sinners is available. You could have it as your own. You could be saved from judgment. Tonight, that's God's promise in the gospel. And tonight, the Lord might come. Do you know what regulates the time of the coming of the Lord? Not the clock. It's not measured by the clock. It's measured by numbers. The Bible says when the full number of the Gentiles has come in, Christ will come. They're coming in. Venezuela, South America, through to the east of us, to the west of us, to the north. Amongst the Indians, amongst the Eskimos, God is filling up the church. And when the last seat is taken, the door will close. And that night could be tonight. Oh, friend, why not? Why not, as a poor, helpless, hell-bound sinner, why not let go of all that hinders you and come to the Lord Jesus tonight? He shelter. His heart.